Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Pei Zayin. We are holding on Pei Vav and Beis at the beginning of the Gemara on Daf Pei Vav and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Yael and Yosef Gervich in appreciation of the children's Rebbeim and Marot. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of and appreciation of the shir and commemoration of the yard sites in Teves of his mother, Rachel Bas Yisachar, Zichron Levracha, and his wife, It's also sponsored by David Ham in honor of his wife Margie, whose birthday is this week. It's also sponsored for Shalema, for Esther Bas Sara by the Lightman family, and it's also sponsored for Shalema for our dear friend Shemario Ben Rezel Shoshana Miriam Shlever for Shalema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So yesterday in the Mishnah we discussed how you have three different types of neder b'taus, and the first type of neder b'taus, the first category of neder b'taus that we spoke about in the Mishnah, is a person where it was nadra ishto and he thought it was nadra bito, or nadra bito and he thought it was nadra ishto. He had misidentified the person who had taken the neder, and he did a hafaro, or for that matter a hakama, for the wrong person who had taken the neder. So our Gemara is going to say, wait a second, does that mean that when a person takes when a person does a hafara or a hakama, that it has to be specifically geared toward with the knowledge of who took that neder? Do we find the same thing in other areas of halacha? What about in Hilchos Kriya? A person finds out that Meis Lo Meis, that one of his relatives, Rachman Atzlan, dies, and he does Kriya. And then it turns out it wasn't that relative. It was a different relative that had died. So we're going to have a stira between the rules of Hafaras Nedarim, whether you need to know the identity of the person, and the rules of Tearing Kriya, whether you need to know the identity of the person in order for it to work. And the Gemara is going to have two ways of resolving that stira. The second way of resolving that stira is going to have something to do with Toch Kedei Dibor. So that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of Toch Kedei Dibor, Kedibor Dami, and that discussion is going to bring us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amar Aleph. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss, the next Mishnah, the Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amar Aleph, is going to discuss a woman who took a neder mita'enim and anavim, all in one statement. Does the hakama or the hafara of one affect the other one? Meaning if you say, oh, great idea to take a neder from te'enim, but you didn't think it was such a great idea to take a neder from anavim, so does that mean just because you're mekayim the neder of te'enim, so that you're being mekayim the neder of anavim as well? So the Gemara is going to try to identify which Tana is the author of our Mishnah, and then it's going to tell us about two other opinions in this matter that the Mishnah discusses. The Mishnah is going to reflect the Shita of one Tana, but there are other Tanaim that also have opinions on this matter. And then we're going to have a Mishnah on Peizayinim Bey toward the bottom of the page, where we talk about a woman who took a neder and the husband didn't know that he's allowed to be made for a neder, or that he's allowed to be made for this neder. Can the husband, on the day that he finds out that this is something that's within his power to do, on that day, is that called Biyom Shamo? He knew about the neder for a week already, but he didn't know that he could do anything about the neder. And now someone tells him, oh, you're the husband, you're allowed to do something, Biyom Shamo. So is that still called Biyom Shamo of the neder? So that's the sugya at the very end of the daf. So let's start with the Gemara on Pei Vav and Beis, right in the bottom line after the Mishnah. So the Meimra, di yani osa daf kahu. Once the Mishnah tells us that a person cannot be made for nidre ishto or nidre bito until you know who it was exactly that took the neder. Was it your wife? Was it your daughter? So it must be that the makor for such an idea is the pasuk. Pasuk says vim biyom shmoa isha yani osa. So from the word osa, we darshin that the hafara is not going to be chal unless you know who you are being mefer for. So is that true that you need to have a clear identity of the person that you're being mefer for? And we learn it from a pasuk. Karen Ora says, you know, why do I need a limud that hafara betaus doesn't work? Isn't that a klal and everything, that everything betaus doesn't work? Meaning a mekach taus and a kiddushay taus and Every ta'us doesn't work. Meaning, why is there a necessity for a special limud that hafara b'ta'us is not a valid hafara? So the Karen Aruch suggests that the Mishnah is talking about a case where they tell him nadra bito, and then he was made for her, and then he finds out that it was his wife, and he wants to be made for that neder as well. Meaning, it's not that he regrets it and he's like, oh, if I would have known it was my wife, I wouldn't have done that hafara. No, he says, okay, good. I don't want my wife or my daughter to have nedarim. I'm not interested in any of it. So one might have thought that it's a glay milsa the mafreya that he would have been made for his wife also, and therefore the hafara that he did when he thought it was his daughter is now going to be chal on his wife as well. That since he's megaladas, that he's happy that the hafara should be chal, that the hafara will be chal the mafreya. And that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that no, it's not going to be chal. You have to know at the shas hafara exactly who the hafara is meant for. The Rav asks a different question, that yes, you can learn from this pasuk that hafara b'ta'us is not going to be chal, yani osa, but how do I know that hakama b'ta'us is not going to be chal? And he says, you can't just learn it from the hekesh between hakama and hafara, which we derive from the pasuk of isha yikimenu v'isha yiferenu, that's the Gemara uses that hekesh to learn other halachos, because it's not really a hekesh gomer. It only teaches us certain items, but not all dine hakama and hafara are parallel to each other. And the raya is that there are certain things that dine hakama are more chamer than dine hafara. We already had a sugya about that in certain matters hakama is more chamer than hafara. So how could you can't just say automatically that whatever applies to one applies to the other. So the Ran suggests that legabe hakama, we learn it from a different pasuk. It says ki hecharish la. From the word la, we learn that you have to have been hecharish la for the neder to be hukam. So it has to be geared, your hakama, or silence for that matter, has to be geared toward the person who took the neder. But if it's geared toward someone who didn't actually take the neder, then it's not going to work, klape, the person who took the neder. So again, the Gemara says, we see clearly from our Mishnah that we must derive from the pasuk that if you're being mefir a neder, you need to know the identity of the person who took the neder in order to be made for the neder. But we have a stira, because v'agabe kra'im, we find when it comes to the din of kriya over a mace that we derive from David HaMelech, when he lost two relatives. It says, Dichsiv, al, the pasuk when it describes him tearing begadim for when he finds out about the death of Shaul and Banav and his children, that it says the word al several times. Shitung Betza says, you know, if you look at the pasuk, it's not really about kriya, it's about kina. You know, he's just lamenting their loss, he's not tearing kriya. But nevertheless, you can learn from all halach sameis, even for kriya as well. And then Shitung Betza quotes a shita that, no, maybe Itaka is talking about kriya, because since the previous pasuk mentions that he tore his begadim, so it must be that the pasuk al Shaul va al Yohanasan, even though that talks about kina, is going on the previous pasuk as well, which is about kriya also. So it could be that it is in the pasuk about kriya. But anyway, the pasuk says dichsiv al Shaul va al Yohanasan beno. So you see from there that you have to be korea begadim l'shem, the person who died, and not that you thought it was somebody else. Just like the word osa, we learned that you have to be made for the neder l'shem, the person that took the neder. But Vitanya, even so, even though you would think that you'd have a similar drasha when it comes to kriya, we have a brisa that tells us that amru lo meis aviv, that if you go and tell the person, they tell the person that his father had died, v'kara, so he tears kriya when he finds out that his father had died, v'acharkach nimtza b'no, and then it turns out that they identified the wrong person, it was really his son that had died, yotzi de kriya, he is yotzi kriya, even though at the time that he did kriya, it was for the wrong person. So isn't that a stira? On the one hand, we said that that when it comes to nidarim, yani osa, you need to know exactly who took the neder in order for the afara to be chal, and yet when it comes to kriya, apparently you don't need to know exactly who it is in order for the kriya to work. The kriya is going to work even if you thought it was one relative, and it turned out to be a different relative that had died. So says Gemara, two answers. First answer is Amri Lokasha. Habistam, habimafarish. Right, the dinim of nedarim and the dinim of kriya, in fact, are the same. And just like a person, when he's mefer a neder, has to know exactly the identity, he has to know that it was his wife who took the neder, so too when it comes to kriya, in a certain sense, you need to know who you're tearing kriya for. The difference between them is the Mishnah that says that when you're mefer for your wife, and it turns out that it was really your daughter, that the hafara is invalid, that's where they told you beferush that your wife had taken the neder, and therefore your hafara was aldas, specifically your wife. And it turns out that it was really your daughter, so such a hafara doesn't work. If you had a parallel case by kriya, it also wouldn't work. If they tell a person specifically, your father died, and he tore kriya specifically for his father, and it turned out that it was his son, the kriya would not work. But when the Braisa says that you're yotze kriya when you tear for the wrong relative, that's the case where they tell him somebody died. They say meslo mes, and they didn't tell him who died. And he assumed, oh, my father's been sick, he's been in the hospital. So he assumed that he's already written a hesped for his father 10 times in his head. He assumes that it was his father that had passed away, because that's the one that it would be a natural assumption. Then it turns out, there was a car crash or something, his son had passed away. And such a case, it does not work. And such a case, it does work. And in a parallel case of Fars and Darm, it also works. Because it's only because he wasn't told specifically that it was the other party. So hab mefarish habistan. So if they were mefarish to him that exactly who it was, and then it turned out to be somebody else, that does not work. Bein b'kriya, bein b'nedarim. But if they just told him, look, you got to tear kriya, and he tears kriya with a certain assumption in mind, but then it turns out that his assumption was wrong, then the kriya does work, and the same would be true about afaras nedarim. Right? They said, oh, the women in your family, there's another neder to deal with, and he says, oh, my wife again, and then he does the hafara, and it turns out that it was really his daughter, right? So that would be a valid hafara, because that's all talui on his assumption. That is how the Ran and the Rush explain our Gemara. However, Tosos understands when the Gemara says bistam, it means that not only was he not told exactly who had died or who had taken the neder, even when he did the hafara and when he tore the kriya, he didn't have anyone specific in mind because he didn't know who had taken it. Meaning, what Tosos is saying is, if they tell him that someone had taken a neder, and he said, oh, it's definitely my wife, and he did a hafara for his wife, then that hafara is invalid. You can't say that's called stam. The hafara itself, or the kriya itself, was directly geared toward one person, says Tosfos. Not like the Ran and the Rush. The Ran and the Rush say, as long as they tell him bistam, even if in his mind, when he's doing it, he has someone specific in mind, that's called stam. Says Tosfos, no, it's not called stam, unless when he's doing the kriya, it's still stam in his mind. So according to the Bali Atosos, only in such a way does the kriya work even for the wrong relative, or the hafara work for the wrong relative. But if he thought that his father had died and he tears kriya thinking that it's his father and it turns out that it's his son, it does not work. Shittim Gubetzes writes something very similar in the name of the Ritz, that even though they tell him Shemes Aviv and he didn't rely on them and he was Mesupak whether it was his Av or Beno, and he tore his Begadim Bistam, that also would be considered Bistam, even though they were Mefarish to him, because I don't care what they told him, I care what was going through his head at the time of the Kriya. So whereas the Ran and the Rush say Stam and Mefarish are about what they tell him, the Bali Atosos and the Shittim Gubetzes say Stam and Mefarish are not, Bein L'Kol Bein L'Chomer, are not about what they told him, it's about what he was thinking. How do we paskin? So the tour in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph near Yerodea sounds like the Afara does not work unless he was mefer bistam. But if he thought that his wife had taken the neder, then the hafara does not work, meaning like Tosfos, like the mefarish, like the Shittim Gubetzes, that along those lines. And that's how the Bach paskins the halacha. So the Taz writes, wait a second, the Torah is paskining like Tosfos against who? Against the Ran and the Rush. The Torah typically doesn't like Tarya. Once in a while he does, but he'll, you know, and sometimes he hides it, right? The Torah, you find, I think one of the Achronim points out that it's not nice to argue with your father. So the Torah was the son of the Rush. So what the Torah will sometimes do, if it's not just the Rush's Shita, he'll sometimes quote all the Rishonim that agree with his father and then disagree with them, instead of disagreeing with the Rush directly. So he sometimes does argue with the Rush. But the Taz says it's not Mukhrach over here that he's arguing with the Rush, because the Gemara is going to have a second answer. So it could be he's not arguing in the interpretation that the Rush has in our Gemara. He just holds that we don't passim like this answer of Habistam Habimfarish, that we passim like the second answer. Meaning the Gemara may have meant what the Rush says he meant, but we just don't passim like this line of the Gemara. And that's why you can passim whatever you want on Stam and Mefarish, because we're not passim like this line of the Gemara. Okay, that's an interesting approach to it. That's how the Taz understands. The Ritva just points out what's mavur from this is that you see that a husband can be mefir a neder of his wife or his daughter, even if his wife or his daughter are not present. And l'chora, the same is true for ataras nedarim, that you don't need the presence of the person in order to be matir the neder of that person. You just need someone to have told you about, you know, for ataras nedarim, about the charata or about the pesach or whatever it is that allows you to do the hatara, and then the chacham could be matir even shalom b'fanav, says the Ritva. In Chidushei Rabbeinu Avram in Ahar, he says the opposite. The mesiras hacharata doesn't need to be b'fnei hachacham, but the guf hatara does need to be in front of the noder. And then a third shita is the shita of the Ritz, according to the shita Mubetzas, that meikar adin, you don't need to be moser the charata in front of the chacham, and you don't need the person to be present, and that's why you pass on Beis Yosef. And that's why when you do ataras nedarim, like on Erev Yom Kippur, you're allowed to say v'chein l'ishti, you know, your wife is not in shul, and the Beis Din is sitting there, you're allowed to say do the atar for my wife as well, and that works even though she happens to not be present. You're allowed to be mefer matir anyway. So those are the different deos in Rishonim. So the Gemara says, okay, this chiluk between stam and mefarish v'atanya, we have a brisa that supports this chiluk between stam and mefarish. Amru lo, they tell the person meis aviv, that his father had died, v'kara, and he tears his begadim, v'acharkach nimtza beno, and then it turns out it wasn't his father but it was his son. So lo yotzi de kriya, he wasn't yotzi the kriya, he has to tear again. So because he tore b'mefurish about his father and not about his son. But amru lo meis lameis, they just tell him somebody died, v'kasavar avivu, and he assumes it was his father, v'kara, and then he tears kriya assuming the father, and then it turns out that it's a son, yotzi de kriya, then hitaka is yotze the kriya. Now this clearly assumes like the Ram, right? Meaning that even if at the time of the kriya he had a specific assumption in mind and it was the wrong assumption, it's still going to work because there were amrulo stam, right? That's how the Ram thinks it all depends on Amrulo. The Mefarish says that the Gemara is not saying Vahatanya binichusa. The Gemara is saying, meaning that it's clearly what the Rav, but it's saying Vahatanya as a question, right? Meaning there's no other way to interpret the Braisa. The Braisa is pretty straightforward, that they tell him Stam, and he makes an assumption about who it is. So the way the Ran says, yeah, this Braisa fits perfectly with the answer we just gave. So Vahatanya is binichusa. Whereas the Mefarish understands that we're asking a stira between the Braisa. The first Braisa says that if you korea aviv nimtza shemeis beno, you're yotzi the kriya. From the second brisa, it says that you're not yotzi the kriya, and that's what the Rush writes in the name of yesh svarim. So that's the. But either way, then it would turn out that this stira goes unanswered. So now the Gemara says, okay, so we need another answer to the original question. If we don't have it clear in the brisas what the halacha is by kriya, so again, what was the original question? The original question was the stira between Nidarim and Kriya, that when it came to Nidarim, it seemed to be that Hafara Bita'ah was not knowing the identity of the person you're doing Hafara for invalidates the Hafara. And yet by Kriya, it seems that it is a valid Kriya, even if you're Yatsa Yidei Kriya, if Amrulah Mesav Vakara Vachar Kach Nimtza Beno, that you are Yotze the Kriya. So the Gemara is going to have a different answer. Before we get to that different answer, there is a fascinating exchange that appears in these Sefer Chuta Meshulash. Chuta Meshulash is the chidushim of three generations of the Rav Chaim Volozhiner's family, I think, right? So in the section of Rabbi Yehona son Mivolozhin, he writes that he was passing through the city of Nevarduk, and he was in the house of Rav Agon, Rav Ziskin, the Av Beis Din Desham. So they were talking and learning. So he said, "No, you have any interesting shailas that came up recently?" He said, "Oh, I have a doozy." He said, "What happened was a guy heard that his sister had died, and he started sitting Shiva. He he finished Shiva, and after he got up from Shiva, they told him, it was your sister that died, but not the sister you thought it was. He thought it was one sister was always unwell, or whatever, he was older, whatever, for whatever reason, he thought it was one sister, and then it turned out that it was a different sister that he was Masabel. There was a different sister that had died than the one that he was Masabel for. He was talking the whole Shiva about this one sister, it was really a different sister. It was before the days of modern communication, or maybe he had a kosher phone or something, whatever, he didn't have the ability to get the information. So the shaila is, does he need to sit Shiva again? So the rabbi paskined that he needs to be Masabel again, and he learns it from our sugya of Kriya, that our sugya says that if he doesn't know who we tore Kriya on, he's going to have to be Chozer B'Kareya. So Gabe Avelis as well, if he didn't know who he was Masabel on, so he has to be Masabel again. And since you have to be Chozer B'Kareya again, so of course you'd have to be Masabel again. We don't find Kriya without Avelis, meaning if you're going to have to be Kareya again, then obviously you're going to have to be Masabel again. Because you're going to tear a Kriya divorced from Avelis? No, when you tear a Kriya, then that's followed by Avelis. So Rabbi Yehonah Sambi Valashin said, that is a terrible mistake, that you just cost that guy a week of Shiva for absolutely no reason. He says, if you look carefully in our sugya, we have a pasuk, Yani Osa, that by Afaris and Darim you have to know who you're being made for Neder, and by Kriya also, Al, that you have to know who it's for, that you have a pasuk, and the clear implication is that Zulazeh, without a pasuk, then you don't need to know who it's for. So by Avelus, there's no pasuk that tells you that you have to know exactly who it's for, and therefore it should work. The Avelus on one should work for the other. And also, that which you say, where do you ever find Kriya without Avelus? It's Mefurish in Yerushalmi and Moed Katan, that there's Yesh Kriya below Ebel, Alav V'imo Yekorea, whatever. There are cases where there's Kriya without Avelus. I mean, there's all the time. There are Dinam Kriya for Yerushalayim B'Churbana, the Mikdash B'Churbana, Sefer Torah Shenisra. You have all sorts of Dine Kriya that do not necessarily involve Avelus. And also, by all mitzvahs, we don't find a kavana like this that has to be where you have to think of what the cause of the obligation is that's mechayiv you in the mitzvah. You don't have that by any mitzvah. So it's like if you sit in the sukkah on the second day of Sukkot and you think it's the third day of Sukkot. So what? You have to go sit in the sukkah again? I mean, you don't say the mitzvah. By a karban, the Gemara says you need a pasuk. The Gemara needs a pasuk in Mesechus Krisos, Asher Chataba, Prat maybe karban ala chelev, v'uachal nosar. But you need a pasuk to tell me that if you're bringing a karban for chelev when really what you ate was nosar, that it doesn't work. But whenever there's not a giloy mefurish in the pasuk, you don't need such a kavana. So that's the compelling case Rabbi Yehonasan Mivalajin made. So Rabbi Lazar Yitzchak Fried, the Rosh Yeshivas Valajin, is quoted in the Chutz Meshulash. He says it countered all of his arguments, and he said you're wrong on all points. He said that which you bring a raya from our sugya that by Hafaris and Darim and by Kriya there's a pasuk for each of them. Look carefully at the sugya. He says the pasuk by Kriya is not telling me that you need to know exactly who it's for. The Ikra Pasuk is being malamed that when there's Shnei Krovim, you need a separate Kriya for each one, and that L'chadchila, it's not enough with Kera Echad. And that's what emerges from the Rishonim of the Sugya. It's not telling me that you need to know exactly who the Kriya is. And then he starts countering all of the other arguments as well, but he says, Ladina, you're right anyway. Ladina, he says, that you need to do a new Avelus, because the makar of the din of Avelus is from Acharisa Kiyomar, and Merirus is what's guarding the Avelus. So once he was already knowing Avelus Betolus, and they tell him that sister is alive, so now he has Nechama about the first sister. So it's only the next sister that he hears about that she died, so the Iker Merirus is Biyom Shamo, it's right now when he hears about that sister. And that's the Mechayev of Avelus. So so that's going to be the Gorim of the Chiyav Avelus. Okay, but anyway, all that was one answer of the Gemara. So now the Gemara says there's another way to answer this stira between Kriya and Nedarim. Rav Ashi Amar Kan B'toch K'dei Dibur Kan Li'achar K'dei Dibur, that when you find out that the relative died B'toch K'dei Dibur of the Kriya of the wrong relative, so then the Kriya works. But when you find out at L'achar K'dei Dibur, a person tears Kriya on his father, and then they tell him an hour later that it was was his son, then the kriya does not work. Then he's going to have to redo the kriya. How much is toch kedei dibur? It's the amount of time that it takes to say shalom alecha, Rebbe Umari. That's what the Muke Yosef writes. The Ritva writes it's the amount of time it takes to say shalom alecha, Rebbe. So minus the word Umari. I mean, we're talking about a very small amount of time and a very, very tiny difference. In the Prashas Nedarim, he says, you know, why is it that that if someone is mafsik, shir zman of Sheila Shalom Rabbo, and then he goes back to whatever he was dealing with, that's called toch kedei dibur. Really, it's la'achr kedei dibur l'rabbo, meaning it's Shalom Lech Rebbe Mari, and then he goes back to whatever he's doing. We call that toch kedei dibur. That's la'achr kedei dibur. So he says that toch means taketh. It means that immediately. So it means that you can't have a longer break than Shalom Alech Rebbe Umari. So if it's any longer than exactly that amount, if it's exactly that amount of time, that's still called toch kedei dibur, because the word toch means taketh. It means immediately after. But if there's a longer break than that, then that's called the achr kedei dibur. Anyway, so Rav Ashi explains, had the kamer yotzei yidei kriya, that the braisa says that you yotzei kriya, even though you mistakenly thought it was your father and it was really the son, shenim tzu beno, betoch kedei dibur. That's if it turned out that you found out that it was the son within kedei dibur, and therefore we view it as if he's mamshich and kareya on the ben as well. Hadam lo yotzei de kriya. When the braisa says that you're not yotzei the chiv of kriya, that's the acher kedei dibur. That's after the kedei dibur of tearing on the father, and therefore the kriya will not work for the son. And the gemara doesn't spell it out, but mimela by nedarim the din is the same. That if you thought that nadra ishto and you were made for the neder, and then you find out b'tei kedei dibur of the hafara that it was really the daughter that was noded. There. So we view it as if the hafara is continuing and works even for the daughter as well. But if you only find out after the kedei dibur of the hafara, then the hafara is not going to work for the daughter, and you're going to have to be made for a second time. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about when it says that hafara b'taus does not work. The Ramban writes that la halacha we pass on like both terutzim, and therefore even though a person has to be made for a neder l'shem the woman that took the neder, if he was made for the wife and it turns out that it was nadrabito, he's going to have to be made for again. But there are two ways that the hafara could still work, even though the default position is if you're made for the wrong person it does not work. Since we pass on like both terutzim, there are two ways that it could work. One is bistam, that they didn't tell him it was his wife, and they just told him stam, and he assumed it was his wife. That's one way. And the other way is if it's betoch kedei dibur, then either one of those is going to work. The Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, Parak Yud Beis, Halacha Chaf Aleph, paskins that if he was mefer liishto, and it turns out it was his daughter, he's going to have to be mefer, and he doesn't say these chilukim that are mentioned in the Gemara between stam and mefareish and toch kedei dibur and lacha kedei dibur. So the Mefarshim try to figure out, you got to pass like one of the answers. You know, he doesn't mention either. So the Ramban says, I like both answers. I pass like both answers. The Rambam doesn't seem to pass like either of the answers. So Rabbi Avraham Nahar says that the Rambam doesn't hold of these chilukim, because according to the Rambam, the first chiluk between Stam and Farish is nidche, because the Gemara asks a kash on it, because he learns the Vahatanya, not benichusa, but that the Gemara is asking that there's a brisa against it. And the chiluk of Ravashi between Tokatei Dibor and Achatei Dibor is not really said about our Mishnah. That was said about the Yishuv of the Stira and the Brisos about Kriya. Right, meaning it's explicit in the Gemara that had the kav yatsi de kriya is betoke de dibur adam lo yatsi de kriya lachak de dibur. It's all about kriya. He never said it about nedarim. So the Rambam holds it didn't toke de dibur kedibur, even though it works. The Indian kriya does not work as far as nedarim is concerned, because by hafaras nedarim the gemiras das belave is not enough. You need to be motzi besvasav. The Shidun Vetzis quotes from the Ritz that the Rambam holds halacha like the Ramban, that both chilukim are correct. When he says hafara doesn't work, it means b'mefarish, where he thought that it was that it was ishto, but b'stam inochinami the hafara will work. And the reason the Rambam doesn't write the inyan of toke de dibur is because according to him the Rav Ashi is not answering the Mishnah; he's answering the stira between the brises. So there's no makom to bring that chiluk on the Mishnah. But of course, you know, throughout everywhere we always find toke de dibur makes a difference, and there's no reason to assume it wouldn't make a difference. So the Rambam leaves it so vague that it's mina kotze ala kotze. Some of the Achronim understand that the Rambam holds just like the Ramban, that both of these chilukim is correct, and some understand that the Rambam holds that neither of these chilukim is correct. So the Gemara brings a raya that there is makom to be mechalek between tok de dibor and lach de dibor. Va'atanya mishiyish lachala b'toch beisav inesale. If a person has a chala in his house and the chala passes out, ukemeduma shemeis, and they assume that the chala is dead, v'kara, so he tears his begadim and then he finds out that the chala was still alive at the time that he tore his begadim. V'achar kach meis, and then the chala dies, lo yatsi yidei kriya. He's not yotze kriya, he has to tear again. V'amar Reb Shimon ben Paz, that's only if the person dies from when he did the kriya. But if the person dies when he did the kriya, even though he wasn't quite dead yet at the time that the guy did the kriya, then the kriya is going to work. And a person could be machzir midiburo within tok dibur chutz mimegadev va'ovir avos chavim umekadesh umegaresh, with a few exceptions. If a person, Rachman says, megadev, he's mekalel as Hashem, so he's mekalel, and then he's chozer b'batok de dibor, he's still chayiv misa. The chazad does not work. One cannot just let such words come out of his mouth and then say, oh, I didn't really mean it. Before you say such words, there needs to be a certain covered rosh of saying something like that. I mean, you're never supposed to say such words, but he's going to chayiv misa. And ovid avodah zarah, a person who says to a pesel, eliata, and then he's chozer tokeh de dibor, says, no, it's not really my God. He's chayiv misa. And mekadesh megarish, if a person is mekadesh or megarish a woman, and then he wants to be chozer tokeh de dibor, it does not work. This is part of the idea that kiddushin and gerushin requires the highest level of das, that it requires a much higher level of das than, let's say, for kinyanim. Reb Chaim has a piece where he goes through that there are basically three levels of das. There's das nedarim, where even muflas samach leish, you don't even need to be a bar das, even a muflas samach leish can affect a neder. Then there's das of most things, of chiyuvei mitzvos and kinyanim, which are bar bas mitzvahs and able to affect those. And then there's a higher level of das, which is kiddushin and gerushin, where you need edus l'kiyum adavar. In order to get married, you could have all the intention and focus in the world. You could be mature and brilliant and everything, and say, Arayim mukadesh li b'tavaz l'kadesh moshe b'yisrael, to a woman, and you know what? You're not mukadeshes unless there are edim there, unless there are you appointed edim to be there to see to it that it happens. Not because they need to testify that it happened. You can have a video that says that it happened. Doesn't matter. That's a reflection of an elevated level of das. So by kiddushin and gerushin, this is another application of that higher level of das that's needed. That tok de dibur is not kedibur dami when it comes to kiddushin and gerushin, because we assume that at the time of the kiddushin and the gerushin there's absolute das. Tok de dibur was, I wasn't thinking, I changed my mind, right? I wasn't really no. When you're doing kiddushin and gerushin, you are thinking. It's absolute das. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses. Amra kolim te'enim va'anavim elu shani toeme. So a woman says that I'm taking a neder on te'enim va'anavim. Kim l'te'enim kulo kayim. If he's the husband is mekayim, the neder as far as the te'enim are concerned, so the entire neder is mekuyam. Hefer l'te'enim, enu mufar achiyofar afla anavim. But if he's only mefer for the te'enim, the afara is not going to be chal l'gabe the anavim, because we don't say neder shufar mekzaso hufar kulo. So neder shekiyim mekzaso kiyim kulo, but we don't say neder shufar mekzaso hufar kulo. And since it's not going to be hufar on the anavim, it's not hufar on the te'enim either, because you can't be mefer machzis of a neder. You can't be mefer a half a neder. So it doesn't. That's not explicit in the Mishnah. That's the way the Rishonim seem to understand. So that's only when she asks two things in the same neder. But Amra kolim te'ena shani to'emes ve'anava shani to'emes hare elu shnei nedarim. But if she takes two separate nedarim, one on te'ena and one on another, then for sure you could be mekayim one of them and not mekayim the other one. You could be mefer one of them and not mefer the other one. So mani masni. Who's the Tana in our Mishnah that holds ein hafara lechatzon, that you can't do half of a hafara? Rabbi Yishmael. It's a Tanya, because the Braisa tells us isha yikimenu v'isha yifirenu. So we learn from there umra konum te'enim va'anavim elu sha'ani to'emes kayim l'te'enim kulo kayim. If the husband is mekayim the part relating to the te'enim, then the whole thing is mekayim, because from the lashon, the pasuk yikimenu, we darshin yakim mimenu, that even if you're only mekayim mimenu, some of it, part of it, the entire thing is mekuyam, and you can't be mefer even at that point, you cannot be mefer even legabe the anavim, which you didn't say a word about yet. But hefer l'teinim, if you were mefer, the part about the teinim, einu mufar, nothing is mufar, at sheyafar afla anavim divrei Rabbi Yishmael. And that's exactly what our Mishnah had said. So Rabbi Yishmael is the author of our Mishnah. But there are more opinions. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hareyu Omer, Isha Yekimenu v'Isha Yefirenu. And this pasuk equates Hakama and Hafara. So we can learn the dinim of one to the other. Ma Yekimenu Mimenu, just like Hakama, the din is that if you're Makayim part of the Neder, the entire Neder is Mekuyam, which we learn from Yekimenu, Afifirenu Mimenu. So too, when it comes to the Hafara, if you're made for part of it, then the entire thing is Hufar. For Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel says, nah, I don't agree with that. Miksiv yafer mimenu? How can you equate hakama to hafara? By hakama, the pasuk says yikimenu, and therefore we darshan that even if you're mekayim mimenu, a part of it, by hafara doesn't say such a lashon, so hafara b'miksas is not going to work. For Rabbi Akiva says, I'll answer your taina. It doesn't that you're right. You can't darshan from the word yafirenu that you could be made from miksas, but makish hafara la hakama. There's a hekish in the pasuk, so you're allowed to learn the dinim from one to the other. So even though it's only by hakama that there's a din of mimenu that's explicit, but you can learn from one to the other. Mahakam menu afafar mimenu. So that's the machloka so far, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. But there is a third shita as well. Amr Rabbi Bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Zo divrei Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So far, we have the shitos of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, where they both agree that if the husband is mekayim miktsas of the neder, that it's hukam kulo. Their only machloka is, does the same apply to hafara? But they both agree when it comes to hakama, that if you're making part of it, then it's hukam kulo, then all of it is hukam. Aval chachamim omrim, but the chachamim say the opposite. They makish hakama la hafara. They don't use the kiyum as the starting point, they use hafara as the starting point, and they derive hakama from hafara. So ma hafara, ma shehefer, it's a question with the girsa, lo hefer, that since the hafara mitzas is not going to be chal at all, af hakama mashkim lo kiyum, so too the hakama b'mitzas is not going to be chal at all, meaning even that which you were mekayim is not mekuyim. So if it was te'enim v'anavim and you're mekayim te'enim, not only is anavim not mekuyim, te'enim is also not mekuyim, just like the hafara is going to be totally invalid if you're only made for part of it. So it turns out that there are three shitos in Tanoim about hakama v'hafara b'miktsas. There's our Mishnah that assumes like Rabbi Shmuel that if the Baal is mekayim part of the neder, the entire neder is mekuyim, but if he's made for part of the neder, nothing is hufar. Then you have the sheet of Rabbi Kiva that just like if you're mekayim part of the neder, the whole thing is mekuyim, if you're made for part of the neder, the whole thing is hufar. And then you have the sheet of the chamim that even with hakama, if you're mekayim part of the neder, nothing is going to be chal. The hakama is not going to be chal at all, because we learned that from a hekish to hafara. It's a machlok rishonim how we paskin la halacha. The Rambam writes in the 13th paragraph of Hilchos Nedarim, and Shulchan Aruch paskins this way as well, in Siflam Vav and Simrei Shlam Dalid, that we paskin like the chachamim based on the girsa mashe hefer hefer. So mele bein the hakama bein hafara, it's chala b'miktsas. Meaning we have this girsa: is it mashe hefer lo hefer or mashe hefer hefer? So it's a question: what is the starting point of hafara? Is the starting point of hafara that if you're made for miktsas, nothing happened? Or that if you're mefer miktsas, that at least that which you were mefer is going to be chal. So the Rambam assumes the second way. That which you were mefer is going to be chal, and therefore the same is true with the kiyum. So if you were either mefer or mekayim, only the te'enim, then anavim remain untouched. Then the anavim remain as if nothing had happened. So Amr konim te'enim, the Mishnah said that if a woman had taken a neder, te'ena shani to'emes, and anava shani to'emes, then they're considered two totally separate nedarim, and the husband could be mekayim Mefer, each one independently because they're separate nedarim. So Amar Rava Masnisin Rabbi Shimon Hi Damar Ad Shiomer Shavua Lekal Echad VeEchad. That we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon in Masechah Shavuos, that a person who takes Shavua for five different people that he does to two five different people that he doesn't owe them anything. So he says Shavua Shein Lecha Biyadi V'lo Lecha V'lo Lecha, meaning everyone's coming after him saying I gave you a bikkur and I gave you this, you owe me money. So he's saying no Shavua, not to you and not to you. So we don't view it as if he took many different shvuas. It's all one shvua because he didn't say a lashon shvua for each one of them. He started with one lashon shvua and just kept on saying v'lo lucha, v'lo lucha. So therefore, in our Mishnah as well, when the woman said konam te'enim va'anavim sha'ani to'emes, we don't view that as two nedarim. We view that as one nedar because it was one lashon of konam. It's only if she says konam te'enim sha'ani to'emes ve'anava sha'ani to'emes. So she added more words that weren't necessary if she wanted it to be one nedar. So only because she added more words that weren't really necessary, that's why we view it as two different nedarim, because she said sha'ani to'emes for each and every one of them. And therefore by shavua also, it doesn't have to be that you say a lashon of shavua for each one of them. If you say shavua she'en lecha biyadi ve'en lecha biyadi, right, instead of lo lecha, but you don't have to repeat the word shavua. You just say something extra, then it makes it a shavua for each and every one of them. So the sheet of the chamim is that if even a woman says konam tein v'andavim shani to'emes, we could still view it as shnei nedarim, and the husband could be mekayim or mefer each one of them separately. And if she said, and if a man says shavua she'en lecha biyadi v'lo lecha, also, we could view that as if the person was took multiple shavuos. Okay, we'll stop there. But from tomorrow, we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody.